Thank you, Lord. 2 Chronicles 7, 12 through 14. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. As a statement of due credit, we are using material adapted from the Bible or from the Battle Plan for Prayer Bible Study developed by Stephen and Alex Kendrick. We're considering several practical aspects of prayer as the means of the spiritual growth of the Lord's church on earth today. There is so much that is taking place in our society and in our nation which shows the urgent need for the church to humble herself and to turn from her wicked ways and to seek the face of the Lord in earnest and reverent and effective prayer. This is not a time for complacency or laxness in the hearts of the people of God. Our nation, our church, our communities, our families, our marriages, our entire beings are in need of God's forgiveness and healing. Accordingly, as we proceed, we need to consider the basic types of prayer that are brought before the Lord by His people. We will use the acronym ACTS, A-C-T-S, to help us in this consideration. Many of you may already know what this means, and this will be but a review, yet a valid and hopefully instructive reinforcement of the manner of our prayers. Kip mentioned this at a men's meeting, with the focus on using it as a pattern of each of our prayers. The letter A stands for adoration. The psalmist in Psalms 19, 1 and 2 makes known that creation itself honors the Lord by declaring the glory of its Creator. Psalms 19, 1 and 2. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. Accordingly, we, as part of the creation of God, should be offering Him the praise and the adoration and the worship that He alone deserves. Again, listen to the psalmist. In Psalms 150, verse 6, with the reinforcement that highlights the fact that everything that is living and draws breath is to praise the Lord. Psalms 150, verse 6, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Note that this is a command. We are to praise the Lord with the heartfelt acknowledgement that He is worthy of the praise and the adoration and the declaration of His glory. As His people, we should be enthralled with the opportunity that we are given in Jesus Christ to proclaim His name and His honor and His sovereignty and His majesty. Again, the psalmist, in Psalms 119, verse 164, expounds the truth that God deserves the perfect praise of His people in the example of praising Him seven times a day. The number seven biblically indicates spiritual perfection and completeness. Psalms 119, verse 164. Seven times a day I praise Thee because of Thy righteous ordinances. God is worthy to be praised, and we are to lift up prayers of adoration and worship lovingly unto Him. This adoration should be in response to God's goodness and greatness. It should fill our hearts and our minds with the reminder of who He is as the Lord God Almighty. It should be evidenced in the recounting of all that He has done and is doing in our lives and within the fabric of the church universal. It should fully expound upon the recognition of His holiness and His majesty above all that which He has created. And it should be a complete rejoicing in His name above every name. This adoration is to be the binding focus of every prayer that is offered unto Him. Each prayer should begin with the reality that God is worthy to be praised, and be filled with that truth in our heart's consideration of unto whom we are in communication as we pray. Proceeding forth, the letter C stands for confession. This follows the fact of the worthiness of God to be adored and the reality that we are not worthy in ourselves to even be in the presence of the most holy and awesome Lord God Almighty if not for His saving grace in Jesus Christ. Accordingly, we humble ourselves in the confession of our utter lack and His gracious and merciful and endless supply. When we fail or sin, we come to Him in prayer as so stipulated by the Apostle John in 1 John 1, 8 and 9. This confession is an agreement with God that we need Him because we are incapable of living the life that fully honors Him without His work in us to cleanse us and to guide us and to direct us. 1 John 1, 8 and 9. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A key component of this confession is the true and the honest desire to not continue in that sin. We are earnestly beseeching the Lord to cleanse us from all unrighteousness in order to live a life that is honoring and truth-filled.